Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide.
This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia.
Tech Guide.
It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect.
Tech Guide.
They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 161. Welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading once again. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. My name is Stephen Fenwick. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we've just returned from New York, where we saw Samsung launch two new smartphones, the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus and the Galaxy Note 5. And they even teased a new smartwatch. And we sit down with Samsung's Vice President for IT and Mobile, Prasad Gokhale, to talk all about them. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a drive in the Volvo XC90 luxury SUV. We're going to check out the Olo clip that makes your iPhone camera even better. And we're going to whip up a coffee with a Nespresso Latissima Touch. In the Tech Guide interview, we talk to Kobe Person. This is the man behind the shocking viral video about the dangers of social media. And we'll bring it home with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products, and Norton, the company to help keep you and your family safe online. A lot to talk about, so let's get cracking. Well, as I mentioned, I've just returned from New York City, where I was invited as a guest of Samsung to attend the launch for their two new smartphones, the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus and the Galaxy Note 5. Two 5.7-inch devices. These are two pretty highly spec'd smartphones. They've got an octa-core processor. They've also got 4 gig of RAM. So some impressive stats there. These are designed to really lift the benchmark, to really lift the standard for smartphones. Now, Samsung, the world leader in smartphones, they did release earlier this year the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge. And it's pretty common knowledge that the sales of those devices were a little below expectations. The iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus, which were released late last year, September last year, have really dominated the smartphone sales. And Samsung really needed to produce something that would take the challenge back to Apple at a time where Apple's due to launch their next iPhones, the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, which is what they're rumored to be called, and rumored to be announced on September the 9th. So the timing for this Samsung event held at the Lincoln Center in New York City on the Upper West Side, very famous venue, was where we saw the new S6 Edge Plus and Galaxy Note 5. Now, let's talk a little bit about each of the products, starting with the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus. Now, we saw the curved screen introduced on the previous S6 Edge, the smaller version. This has taken it up to the 5.7-inch screen size. It's got a quad HD screen. That means it's not 4K. Quad HD means four times the regular resolution, which is better than full HD, but not quite 4K. It's still stunning, really clear, amazing clarity, amazing sharpness, and with a pixel density of 518 PPI, that's pixels per inch. Both have that same display. Now, in terms of design, the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus has the curved screen and the flat back. So the curves go either side of the screen, and on the right-hand edge of the screen allows you to set up five favorite apps, five favorite contacts. So when you slide on that right edge, you can see your top five contacts and your top five apps. So that's a nice handy shortcut for you to use there. Now, the Note 5 is the latest in the Note family. The original Note 4 years ago now was one of the first big screen smartphones, and Samsung were quite bold in sort of moving into that territory. A lot of other companies really thought, well, why do you need a phone so big now? And they said this during the launch, a big screen is the new normal. It's something that people are now looking for. It wasn't so long ago that the average screen size for a smartphone was 3.5 inches, 4 inches. Now we're talking 5 inches plus, and the Note 5 and the Galaxy S6 Edge deliver in both of those areas. Now, I mentioned the computing power, 64-bit octa-core 14-nanometer processor, which is comprised of a 2.1 gigahertz and a 1.5 gigahertz quad-core processor. Together, that makes 8 cores, hence the octa-core. 4 gig of RAM. Now, that's the sort of RAM you'd expect to find on a computer. But Samsung have included that in these devices. Now, you have to remember, the way we use smartphones has changed. They've become much more powerful, much more computer-like in terms of that power. So we're able to complete tasks on the move. Things like video editing, picture editing, all these multitasking, so many things we can do now on the move thanks to the power of these devices like the S6 Edge Plus and the Note 5. They're running also the latest Android 5.1 operating system. Now, in terms of features, there are plenty on each. The Note 5, of course, has the S Pen. Now, this is the pen that pops out of the bottom of the device and allows you to write directly on the screen. Now, one of the new features of the one of the new writing features is the ability to write on the lock screen. Now, how many times do you need to take down a quick note? Well, now with the Note 5, even though the screen is locked, you can still pop out the pen and write on that black lock screen, and then save it and do whatever you want with it. Of course, it allows you to also to launch Air Command, which then allows you to do things like clipping parts of the screen, writing a quick action memo, writing a normal note, and accessing things like even writing on a screenshot. So you might want to, say, draw on a map or draw on some kind of image on the screen. That allows you to do that right from Air Command. Now, the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus and the Note 5 will also have Samsung Pay. This is a new payment system that allows you to, rather than taking your credit cards with you, the devices actually replace them. So you still have the credit cards, but now they're stored in your phone and you can pay with the phone, whether it's a normal NFC terminal or an older magnetic strip terminal, which is kind of what everyone's using anyway. The new magnetic secure transmission terminals, which are far more common, found in up to 90% of stores, whereas the NFC terminals are not as common. Now, that's the advantage here with Samsung Pay. It allows you to use it in more places, and the transaction is secured with a PIN number or your fingerprint, and credit card information is protected with a single-use ID just at the time of transaction, so it is quite secure. They're going to be available in 2 memory options. Still no micro SD card. That was one criticism I had for the S6 and the S6 Edge, with the fact that they were sealed devices. They didn't have that ability to expand the memory. We're talking 32 gig or 64 gig. That's all you get. No access to the battery, no access to a micro SD card slot. But now, with the ability to use cloud services, then that you can take advantage of a lot of that online storage. Another feature for both devices is side sync. Now, this is the ability to pair your phone, to link it to a Mac or a PC or another tablet, and allow you to take advantage of the apps, the documents and data on board your smartphone as well when it's linked. So, for example, you might be charging your phone in one room, and then when you get a call, you can actually answer that call on your computer, on your tablet. You can even access data and cut and paste across devices. Use even apps on your PC as well, streamed from the phone. So plenty of handy features, I should say, that are there for both the Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge Plus and for the Note 5. Now, We have heard some news that they're going to be released in Australia on September the 4th. Pre-orders start from tomorrow, from the 18th. Well, I'm recording this on a Monday. So from Tuesday, the 18th, they are also available for pre-order. Now, in terms of pricing, they've also announced pricing as well. The Samsung Galaxy Note 5, 32 gig. It's available in black, sapphire, or gold platinum. It's priced at $1,099. So that's only available in one memory capacity. Whereas the S6 Edge Plus will be available in 32 gig. It's also available in black, sapphire, or white pearl. It's priced at $1,199. And the S6 Edge Plus 64 gig version, it too available in black, sapphire, and white pearl, will sell for $1,299. So it's an extra $100 for an extra 32 gig on the S6 Edge Plus. There's only one size that they've noted here for the Note 5. That's 32 gig, and that's priced at $1,099. And they'll be available, expected on sale date of Friday, the 4th of September, which is only a couple of weeks away. The Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge Plus and the Galaxy Note 5, two quite powerful devices. What we did, though, we managed to sit down with Prasad Gokhale, who's the Samsung Vice President for IT and Mobile, to talk about what we can expect to see in Australia. And here's what he had to say earlier.
Well, hi, Prasad. Thanks for joining me. We're here in New York City for the launch of your two latest devices. Now, tell us a little bit about them, first of all, and when are they going to be released?
So these two devices are going to be announced and then launched subsequently in a few weeks in Australia. We will be having a local announcement on next Tuesday, mm-hmm. Which will then clarify all the details.
Sure.
But we will endeavor our best to bring it to all Australians mm-hmm. at the earliest possible.
Now, this is a significant launch for Samsung. The it's building on the legacy of the previous devices. So the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus, the Note 5, really leveraging the best features of the company, the technology that you've developed, and the curved screen, the dual edge curve is back, but on a grander scale. Mm-hmm. This is obviously part of Samsung's strategy moving forward.
Absolutely. So, and you made a very good point about the strong legacy of products we have built. So we built the large screen phones for the first time. We introduced the pioneers in the large screen. Then we brought with the GS6 and the GS6 Edge new technology in terms of ergonomics, better display. We changed the whole user experience to make it simplified. What we did was with this time, we have carried forward all the good stuff we have.
Yeah. And your Galaxy's ringing right now. That's timely.
It keeps working hard. We kept all those things in mind, and we reflected that in these two new beautiful mm-hmm. products.
Now, Samsung was one of the first company to deliver these large screens. So you've got a bit of experience in this area. How do Australian consumers? We love big screens too, don't we?
Absolutely. My evidence of the work we have done globally shows that actually Australia is in the forefront of large screen adoption. For sure, there are markets in the world where the local languages lend to large screens, like the Chinese part of the world where they use big characters, kanjis, mm-hmm. and they need those large screens.
Yep.
But now Australians have started adopting large screens in droves because, one, the radio technology, better Wi-Fi penetration, better LTE penetration lends itself, and second, content availability. Mm-hmm. And the curating of the content which is happening is lending to that. Mm-hmm. So Australians, I believe, in the OECD world, lead the large screens.
One thing, I'm looking at the specs of the new devices, one word that really pops out is power. It's mm-hmm. Quite a powerful device. Mm-hmm. We're talking octa-core mm-hmm. and 4 gig of RAM.
Yep.
I think my first computer didn't even have that much RAM.
That's right.
Some people's current computers only have that much RAM.
Apparently, the first supercomputer from IBM had 256 megabytes of RAM, which was shipped in a big bus. But yeah, so these are fast phones. And we have been actually doing delivering fast and fast technology-enabled phones for the last 5 years. And our GS6 was a testament to that. And with this, we just continue that. And what that does is our phones are beautiful from outside and they're powerful from inside. What that does is it gives customers a peace of mind that the phone will run and deliver to their requirements. So if you're playing a video game, you don't have to worry about a slow phone, right?
Absolutely.
And a big latency. If you're taking a photo, and I believe our phones are the fastest phones in terms of camera and have the lowest latency.
Okay.
Again, helps. So all in all, and the last one is the Australian LTE network environment lends to these phones because our phones have the best and the latest support of LTE.
Mm-hmm.
And with these phones, we will be launching Cat 9 support.
As well.
It goes up to 450 megabits per second.
Wow. So these are not only the fast on the device, but also fast on the network.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And what about on the, let's just talk about the Galaxy Note 5 for a moment, and with the S Pen, that's really become a favourite of customers, hasn't it? The ability to write on the screen, that tactile experience, while you're giving them the latest technology, you're still offering that experience as well. And this one is even better because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you can write on the lock screen, the blank screen.
So you made a good point about the fact that people like the S Pen. They like the S Pen because, forget the pen for a minute, it's part of life. Human beings write on piece of paper, have been writing for years. So we just delivered that capability onto the phone, which we did about with our Note launch initially, and we've continued. And we have now improved that whole experience. It's much more easier on the screen now. The tactile experience is easy, and you might have seen a couple of improvements now. So if you have a PDF document, you can open it on the phone, you can sign it, and you can send it. You don't have to scan
that
it.
It saves
anymore.
A lot of time,
right?
That's great.
The second piece is you can also write on a blank screen. So you go to a, I don't know, you meet somebody in a bar. You want to take her name, your number.
Okay.
You just put it.
Oh, I am married, mate. Don't get me in trouble.
That's okay. We all make friends here and there. That's all right. But it's just you don't need to open the phone anymore.
Yeah.
You just write it. It saves to the Samsung
app.
So there are improvements.
No,
but the most important one is the technology part, which of this pens, which we enable in the enterprise space.
Mm-hmm.
So in the productivity space.
Right.
So where if you are like a courier company,
uh-huh.
and the couriers have to get cite evidence of signature. Right?
Yes.
So instead of opening a big pad with a pen, now they can just use these phones,
okay.
and it can remotely get sent.
So I can see you selling this to corporates as
Absolutely.
Well, mate. I can see that you've already got them in mind. That's great.
Absolutely.
What about the some of the other features? I'm interested in the, well, obviously Samsung Pay.
Mm-hmm.
Will that come to Australia eventually, or is that just, will we get that?
So, first of all, absolutely. Samsung Pay is coming to Australia.
Yeah.
But as you know, Australians are in the leading edge of mobile payments.
Uh-huh.
So Australia actually has close to 95% plus penetration of NFC-based mobile handheld systems.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in the United States or other countries, they're still on the magnetic strips. So what that does is the Samsung Pay, the first phase of it was built on the magnetic strip-based technology.
Yeah.
For Australia, we are customizing it to the chip-based technology. But in the interim, we have been delivering tap-and-go services on our phones from GS4 with Commonwealth Bank, with Westpac, and other financial institutions, and we continue to do that.
Okay.
So no way the Australians are behind. All Australians are going to enjoy the best of mobile commerce.
And how do we go as customers, Samsung customers in Australia? Are we pulling our weight? Are we making you look good to Korea? How are we going?
Absolutely. Australian Galaxy customers are in the top five Galaxy users in the world, though we are only 22 million of us, but we use them very heavily and we replace them very fast. Because we are hungry for the latest and greatest. And we at Samsung will do all our best to delight continuously those our loyal customers and invite new customers to join Galaxy as well.
Absolutely. Prasad, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and thanks for coming over.
Well, that was Prasad from Samsung. There's one other item that was mentioned in the Samsung event in New York, and that was a new smart watch. Now, we did get a chance to, first of all, get our hands on the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus and Note 5. Before I talk about the watch, we did have a chance to have a hands-on review, and you can read that at techguide.com.au. But back to the smart watch. Now, at the very end of the presentation in New York, Samsung, the woman that came on stage, she was the vice president for product marketing, Alana Cotton. She came back on stage and said, well, we've got one last thing to show you. And then they produced a 15-second teaser video of the Gear S2 smartwatch. Now, from what we saw, it's going to be a circular device, so a circular touchscreen. It doesn't appear to be any knobs or buttons on the end, on the outside of the watch. We can see there's going to be a heart rate monitor from what we saw on the screen. And it's going to be announced officially at IFA in Berlin, which is the tech trade show that actually I'll be attending in a couple of weeks over in Berlin. It's an annual tech trade show, and we're going to see more about the Gear S2 smartwatch then. So check out my hands-on reviews, my reports, first of all, from New York, my hands-on reviews of both the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus and the Note 5. You can read them at techguide.com.au, along with the story about the Gear S2 smartwatch and that short teaser video as well. You can see all of that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they are introducing the first Nighthawk modem router. Netgear's newest addition to the Nighthawk family has landed, and it's the first modem router in the range. The Nighthawk D7000 will deliver AC Wi-Fi speeds of up to 1900 megabits per second and support both ADSL and VDSL connections. VDSL is one of the new technologies being utilized for the NBN. So upgrade to the D7000 and future-proof your network. Enjoy smooth video and music streaming and eliminate lag when online gaming with Nighthawk. So if you want super fast Wi-Fi speeds and ultimate Wi-Fi range for your home, then check out the new Nighthawk modem router from Netgear. Search D7000 at netgear.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick. Tech Guide.
Our first review product for episode 161 of Tech Guide actually has four wheels. It's the all-new XC90. This is a luxury SUV, so it's sports utility vehicle from Volvo. Now, Volvo is a company well known for safety features, and driver protection. The SUV, the XC90, is no exception. But what they've done, they've packed in a lot of technology to not only increase the driver safety, but also increase the driver comfort and convenience. So much technology on board this vehicle. It offers up to 3,000 kilowatts of power, and it's going to be available in four-cylinder models with turbocharged and supercharged engines and a petrol engine with an electric motor. So plenty of options there. Starts at $89,990. So it's a luxury SUV. You have to remember that this is a luxury vehicle. There's the interior, luxurious. There's leather, so much technology. Goes all the way up to $122,950. So this isn't your average SUV. This is luxury, sort of top of the line, one of the most luxurious SUVs you'll find on the market. Now, back to the technology on board. The Volvo has plenty of it, and it starts with a 9-inch touch screen right in the middle of the console. The control system, It takes a new approach to interaction. It allows you to scroll three screens. So you can scroll left, you can scroll right, and there's one in the middle. So it's very easy to scroll between those screens. It blends in quite nicely with the, it's got a black background and is blends into the black background with the vents on either side. So it's not distracting in any way. And from the screen, you can access navigation, your entertainment, settings for the car, settings for the audio system. And just below that, there's climate controls as well. So what having this big screen, it's sort of an iPad-sized screen, it means there are less knobs, less buttons, so a very uncluttered-looking cockpit looks really nice. Now, in terms of on-road technology, let's talk about a few of them. The first is Q-Assist. Now, this is a step closer to autonomous driving. Q-Assist is for that city driving, that monotonous stop-go traffic. And what Q-Assist allows you to do, it enables the car to speed up and slow down at a safe distance on its own. So it can speed up and brake in these monotonous driving conditions, as long as you've got a hand on the wheel. There's also active cruise control, so acceleration and braking can be controlled by itself, so automatically when you drive, whether you're traveling a highway or city roads. There's a lane keeping aid, and when we drove the car, I drove it for a day down in Canberra, the lane keeping aid really came into play, and we deliberately went out of our lane, and what it did, it increased the torque on the steering wheel and really brought it back into the lane. So you can just imagine if a driver's dozing off and drifting out of the lane, that jolt back into the proper lane will really wake up the driver and keep them alert. It's inattentive drivers and distractions are the two biggest causes of accidents, and Volvo has come up with a way of avoiding it. It's also got extended road sign information. Now, there's a tiny camera inside the Volvo logo on the front of the car. So the badge on the front of the grille, the lower half of the badge actually has a camera, and it can read signs. It can read speed signs. It can read all kinds of signs and displays them for the driver on the dashboard. Now, one other thing I mentioned, there are some world-first safety features on board here. One of them is runoff road protection. Now, runoff road accidents account for nearly half of the fatalities on the road caused by fatigue, bad weather conditions, a car runs off the road, it increases the chance of a fatality. Now, what the XC90 can do is detect when the car has left the road and set in motion a number of protective measures. Now, one thing it does is tightens up the seatbelts and keeps the driver and the passengers firmly in their seats. And it also reduces the vertical occupant forces. That means it will not move the seat up or down. So it'll reduce those forces by up to a third. Now, these can cause, in a normal car, can cause spinal injuries, could cause someone to become a quadriplegic or a paraplegic. And it also moves the brakes away, so the brake pedal away from the driver, and of course activates airbags when needed. So the chances of injury are lowered. In fact, Volvo has come out and said that their safety features, they're so confident about their safety features that they're saying that by 2020, no one will be killed or seriously injured inside a Volvo vehicle. A very bold claim to make, and one they're backing up with their technology and their safety features. Another safety feature is auto brake at intersections. So this is another world first technology. Now, what happens here? The car automatically brakes if you try to turn in front of an oncoming car. It can sense that and hit the anchors. So it can detect a potential crash and brake automatically. Now, moving on to other technology, and we're talking audio systems here, and on board the XC90 is a high quality audio system with 19 speakers scattered throughout the car. Now, Volvo has also partnered with the prestigious audio brand Bowers & Wilkins to come up with a system that really sounds remarkable in the car. And drivers can even select the sound mode, whether they want to hear it like a concert hall, studio, or individual stage. You can even optimize the sound depending on how many people are in the car, whether it's just the driver, they want to just optimize it for them, or whether there's people in the back or people in the front, they can really adjust that to make the sound even better. Now, in terms of the subwoofer, here's an interesting little piece of technology. The actual car is the subwoofer. So the subwoofer is actually integrated into the body of the car, and the space inside the cabin becomes the chamber for the subwoofer. So it moves air around in that chamber. You are inside the subwoofer. Really intelligent technology. The Volvo XC90, it's available now. You can check it out. There are three different models. I've listed them at Tech Guide. Also, the pricing, which I mentioned, starts at $89,950, not $89,950. You want to read all about the Volvo XC90? You can check it out, techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Now, your iPhone, if you are an iPhone 6 user or an iPhone 6 Plus user, you don't need me to tell you that you've got a pretty damn good camera on that device. Now, what would you say if I told you that there is a product that can make those cameras even better? Well, there is. It's the Olloclip. Now, these are small lenses that attach to the top of the phone and then go over the top of the camera lens to create different effects and give your camera even more abilities. Now, there are two that I've written about on Tech Guide, the Olloclip 4-in-1 lens, and there's also the Olloclip Active lens. Now, each Olloclip has two lenses, one at the front, one at the back, and it clips to the top of your iPhone 6 or iPhone 6 Plus. There are brackets that can help you get a tighter fit. So it slips over the top of the phone and goes over the top of either the front or back camera and allows you then to have things like 2x zoom and ultra wide. That's on the Olloclip Active lens. So once and I have put examples of that on my story. So if you want a 2x zoom, so we're going to get even closer to your subject, then having the Olloclip Active lens allows you to achieve that. If you want an ultra wide angle, so you want to go even wider, there are times where the focal length of the phone isn't great enough for you to, say, capture a landmark or a wider shot. Having that ultra-wide lens allows you to achieve that. Now, an example I used in my review on Tech Guide was a shot of the Harbour Bridge and the Opera House. Now, using the regular iPhone 6 Plus camera without the Olloclip, to try to fit both of those landmarks in, I could only get the right-hand side of the Harbour Bridge and the left-hand side of the Opera House. But with the Olloclip wide-angle lens, it gave me enough scope to fit in the complete Harbour Bridge and the complete Opera House. You can check that out on the review I have on Tech Guide. But that wide-angle lens also helps for selfies. So you can actually put that lens above the front-facing camera. So now you can fit a lot more in your selfies. So rather than you having to buy a selfie stick and try to get that phone away from you to capture a decent picture, you can now just hold it in your hand. And with the wide-angle lens, it fits so much in there. There's a picture of me, a selfie of me on the shores of Sydney Harbour there, with a normal selfie and then a selfie with the wide-angle lens as well. Now, the 2x zoom also helps come in. So if you want to have a bigger image in the camera, so rather than you having to zoom in and be limited by the full focus of the iPhone, the full zoom of the iPhone, the 2x zoom doubles that. So you can zoom even closer on certain subjects. So it's handy when you don't want such a wide shot, but rather than you having to zoom in and reduce the quality of that shot, having the 2x zoom lens really does help. So you're using its full opticals that you're using rather than a digital zoom. And then if you do want to zoom right in, it does get you a lot closer to your subjects as well. The example I used there was a picture of the Harbour Bridge, and I zoomed in on a sailboat under the Harbour Bridge. And of course, with the 2x zoom, it did help me. There's also the fisheye, which you can come up with some pretty creative pictures. You can see that on my story as well. But the other really fascinating thing with the 4-in-1, the Olloclip 4-in-1, that includes an ultra-wide, a fisheye, and two other macro lenses, a 10x macro and a 15x macro. And that gets you so close to various objects. What else comes with the 4-in-1 Olloclip lens is a case. Now, what the case does is not only protect your phone, the iPhone 6 or the iPhone 6 Plus, but there are also little guides on the top of the case and little indentations to let allow the Olloclip to sit even more precisely on top of the phone so that it fits over the lenses quite easily. So normally, if you did have a case on your iPhone, you probably would have to remove it to fit the Olo Clip on there. But if with the Olo Clip case, there are little spaces at the top and spaces cut out of the top of the back of the case so that the Olo Clip can sit flush without you having to take off the case. So you've got a cover, and you can also use the Olo Clips at the same time. Now, the other additions in the 4-in-1, you get the wide angle, you get the fisheye, but you also get the macro. And you can go so close to your subjects. There are pictures I've taken. There is a picture of a menu. So there's an A. I was at Aria when I took the photo. There's an A off the Aria menu, the leather-bound menu. And you'll see the 10 times optical zoom going right in into the corners of the A. And you can see the texture of the leather. And then there's the 15 times, which takes you even closer so you can see microscopic dust particles. I even took a photo of my finger, which I didn't include in the story, but it allows you to take photos so close up you can even see the ridges of your fingerprints if you want to get close enough. The Olo Clip active lens and the Olo Clip 4-in-1, both available now, both priced at $154.95, and you can see them in action at techguide.com.au. Our last review for this week's show is a coffee machine, the Nespresso Latissima Touch. Now, we love tech, we love coffee. This combines the two. This is a machine that measures only 17 centimeters wide and 31 centimeters long. So it's not a bench hog. It doesn't take up a lot of room. It's got a relatively small footprint. Now, we all know the Nespresso brand. They sell coffee capsules, and this, of course, can do just that. The addition, though, on this device is the RCS, the Rapid Cappuccino System. That's a milk frother, if you like, that clips into the front. There's a spout that can be aimed into the cup, so you can set all the different combinations, whether you want to just have coffee on its own, whether you want to do your coffee first, have your milk second, whether you want to do them both at once, so coffee and then milk will be done automatically. Plenty of combinations for your to control the coffee quantity, the type of coffee, and also the milk, and there's even a knob to control how frothy you'd like your milk, whether you're having a cappuccino, which would require more froth, or hardly any froth for if you want to just have like a macchiato or a latte. It allows you to control that as well. And that RCS system, that rapid cappuccino system with the milk, there's a small container where you pour in the milk, and then it will then pour into the cup with the spout. That can be removed from the machine and kept in the fridge. If there is happens to be some milk left over, say you got half the container left full of milk, you can actually take out that RCS, put it in the fridge. Next time you want to make a coffee, pop it out, put it back in. That way the milk stays fresh and cold and helps you make that great cup of coffee. Now, to clean the system, the RCS has a steam cleaning button, and once you hold it for a certain period, it does push out some steam, some hot water, and really flushes out that system. You can also take it apart, wash in the sink. That's probably something you do maybe once every couple of weeks. The steam cleaning system appeared to work pretty good for us. You can choose your coffee, whether it's a ristretto, espresso, or longo. That's the size of your coffee, and also your milk quantity as well. It gets its touch name because the buttons on the top are touch sensitive. One little stroke on the touch button allows you to start your coffee. Now, when you make the coffee, one thing that we did notice was the coffee wasn't quite as hot as we'd like it. And the Nespresso manual actually had a couple of suggestions on how to make it a little hotter. One suggestion was descaling the machine. Now, that's it gets rid of the limestone and build up inside the machine. And we thought that the machine's brand new for our review. We didn't need to descale it. You only descale after a certain number of hours that you've been using, after a certain number of capsules have been used. That's when you descale. The other suggestion was putting the cup to preheat the cup. And to do that, you have to hit the button without a capsule inside. So it just pushes hot water through the system. Hot water then heats up the cup. So what you do is then you tip out that hot water and then hit your coffee. So that's a preheated cup, and it makes the coffee just a little bit hotter. Another solution for us was that we just put it in the microwave for 20 seconds, which took a lot less time. But we like our coffee on the hotter side. That's not to say that you wouldn't like the coffee that comes out of the Latissima machine. Plenty do, and we often didn't even bother with the microwave. We just drank it how it was, and it was delicious at the same time. The Nespresso Latissima Touch is made by De'Longhi, I should mention. He's a very popular company in the coffee machine business. It's priced at $649, so that convenience doesn't come cheap, but it is a good quality machine that will serve you well and make coffee just the way you like it. Our full review is at techguide.com.au. The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Norton, the company that can help keep you and your family safe online. Do you know what your kids are up to on the internet? Well, a recent survey by internet security company Norton shows that almost three quarters of Australian parents are in the dark when it comes to knowing what their children get up to online. Are you one of them? Helping your kids grow up in the digital age of social media, online stranger danger, and sexting and cyberbullying adds a new dimension to parenting. And Norton wants to help give you the tools to help open up the conversation with your kids about online safety. Norton is a free online service that lets you keep tabs on where your kids go, what they do, and what they see online to help them develop good online habits. To learn more and to start using Norton Family for free, visit norton.com/au/protecting kids.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Our Tech Guide interview is with a gentleman named Kobe Person. Now, I bumped into Kobe Person in New York. He is the man behind the prankster video. Well, he's a video prankster. He's done a lot of prank videos. Well, he produced a video this time showing just how easy it was for him to lure underage girls on Facebook. This video has gone viral. That is, it's exposed the dangers of social media, and it involves him posing as a 15-year-old on Facebook and grooming three girls and seeing if they would agree to meet him in person without even knowing who he is. And in this case, he is not who he says he is. Now, the prank is interesting because the parents were in on it. So they thought, well, they had faith that their daughter wouldn't meet the person in the park, wouldn't open the door, wouldn't get in their car, and three times they were wrong. It is a real eye-opening video. We happened to bump into Kobe Person at the Pacific Television Studios in New York. I was getting ready to do my live cross to Studio 10 to talk about the new Samsung smartphones. And Kobe was actually there to do a cross for Sunrise to talk about this video that's had more than 30 million hits in just a few days. So we had a chance to catch up with Kobe, and here's what he had to say when we met.
Well, Kobe, thanks for joining me. You are the creator of a video that's gone viral. It's quite shocking and confronting. It's young girls, you posing as someone on Facebook. Their parents are in on it. Yep. How did you come up with this idea?
It was basically one of my writers, his name is Greg from Pranksters.com. He saw a news report in the news, and it happened 2 weeks ago in California where a girl... she was actually, the same thing happened there, but in real life. So basically a guy, 27-year-old man, he created a fake profile online on Facebook, friend requested girls, and he actually ended up meeting up with one. The girl let him in the house through the window, and then he took the daughter out, and the dad comes downstairs to see if his daughter was sleeping, because he heard something, and she wasn't there. So what he did is he started going around the block, and he finds a guy with his hand around his 12-year-old daughter, and he basically beat up that guy until the police came.
So that was the basis for your video.
Yeah, so that was the same basis. I wanted to see. I was like, this is a big awareness thing. So I wanted to see. I wanted to see, first of all, if it would work, and second of all, if it does work, why has the other video not the other video only got like 100,000 views? So it needs more awareness out
there. So what's been the reaction to this? It's gone viral.
It's humongous. Reaction? Like 27 million views in 2 days. Like, it's literally the top video in like every country in the world. So I mean, it's just it's been the reaction is so positive. It's just amazing, the messages I've been getting. People are like, I wish I would have seen this before when I was younger, because I wouldn't have done the stuff I did. People are like, I got kidnapped at one point. Like, I got thousands of emails of just like of good stories.
You're getting good messages of support from parents.
Oh, a lot. I'm getting a lot of Snapchats about parents showing me that they're showing their kids, or that like people saying I showed all my kids. I sent it to their friends, or like schools. I have detectives messaging me, like, you should come work for us, type of thing.
Yeah.
I've had like detectives saying, can I show it to all the police out here? So I mean, it's been nuts out here.
Yeah, excellent. I just see you've done a live cross to Australia, so it's reached Australia, and
exactly,
I've seen it on my Facebook feed, mate. So you're everywhere.
Yeah.
So what's next?
We're gonna be doing part two, which is gonna be the boys, where I'm gonna pose as a 15-year-old girl.
Really?
And I'm gonna try to get these boys, lure them into different situations, which are gonna be it's gonna be out of control.
Okay. What about if the boys have watched your other video?
We're gonna have to figure that out.
Okay. And this is you're a YouTube.
Yeah.
Identity. You've got 1.2 million subscribers.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is what you do. You make these sort of videos.
Yeah.
What other type of videos do you make?
We do a lot of social experiments, prank videos, just like anything that's trending. I just jump on it.
Any thoughts of coming down to Australia, mate?
I do want to come down though. Like, that is one of the things I want to do. Sydney. I will be there one day.
That's where I'll be. When you're in town, mate, look me up. Thanks for joining us, mate.
I'll come by.
All right, thank you.
Tech Guy. Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
A couple of quick questions for the Tech Guide Help Desk. One question was from a reader and a listener who wanted to buy a phone with a tracking system, so a Find My Phone type setup, so that and he would leave this in his van, and he would then be able to track his van wherever he went. I said, well, that's a pretty expensive way to track something, because you need to have a pretty decent smartphone with that feature. So I suggested he maybe invest in a Trackamo, which is a GPS receiver, about the size of a 50-cent piece, that allows people and objects to be tracked. It's a lot easier and I think a lot cheaper to track your van, your car, or whatever you want to track anywhere in the world. The Trackamo, which is something I have reviewed on Tech Guide a couple of months ago, was a popular story. That is what I would suggest for our listener to track the van. Our other questions, we did have a couple of questions from listeners who had installed Windows 10. Now, the bugbear of Windows 10 for these particular people was their printers suddenly weren't working. So there was one who admitted the printer was quite old, but there were others who were just mystified by there not being drivers and other errors that were coming up that wasn't allowing them to print. Now, my suggestion is this. If you've got a recent printer, go to that printer's website. So whether it's Canon, a Brother, or whatever, go to the website. Check out if there is an updated driver for your particular printer. Chances are there is a driver that will then make that printer compatible with Windows 10. There are going to be a few of these little complications. No reason to turn you back on Windows 10, though. We think it's a superior system than 8.1. So be patient. Try to find that driver. I'm sure companies are working pretty hard to get those out there as quickly as possible. That was our Tech Guide Help Desk. We hope that helped you. And if you want to send in your question, you can email us info@techguide.com.au. And that is our show for this week. You can read about everything we've talked about, of course, at techguide.com.au. And get in touch with us. Email us info@techguide.com.au. Or give me a shout on Twitter. It's at Stephen Fennick, and Stephen spelt with a PH. So give me a shout out there. If you've got any questions you want to ask me, they could very well end up on the Tech Guide Help Desk as well if you want to go through Twitter. A special thanks to our two sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs, and Norton, the company that can keep you and your family safe online. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.